If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, we're going to read chapter 3, verse 12, through the first verse of chapter 4. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved.
Thank you for the pastor appreciation gift. We do feel welcomed and loved and appreciated here, so thanks. We love serving God with you, and God's doing some great things, and I trust that you're just kind of along for the ride, right? Okay, God, here we go. We'll follow you. Well, when we were here 2 weeks ago, we were gathered here for worship. There was another group that gathered in the cities for another purpose. Over 13,000 people lined up to run the Twin Cities Marathon. I looked up some information on that, and the average time to run the Twin Cities Marathon is 4 hours and 23 minutes. So that means if you would have got up this morning and started running at 6 a.m. in the dark, you would still be running. It's a long ways, isn't it? It's like running from here to Faribault and back. I've run a 5K race. 5 kilometers is 3.1 miles. I've done a 5 mile. I've done a 10K, which is 6.2. That's pretty far for me. A marathon is 10 kilometers plus another 20 miles. It's a long ways. This morning, Paul's going to talk to us about running the race. He's going to say the Christian life is like a marathon, from the very beginning to the very end. If you read the different letters that Paul has written, and you see kind of the sports images, I get the feeling that Paul was kind of a sports fan. He talks about boxing, he talks about wrestling. Today he's going to talk about running. He refuses to be sidelined, nor let the Philippians or us just kind of drop out of the race. He says, no, it's not really an option. Right, we put our faith in Christ, and some days maybe we feel this way. We wish that we'd immediately go to heaven. But we don't, do we? We're here. And running the marathon race is probably a good metaphor for the Christian life. Last week, Paul talked to us about how you kind of get in the race. how you become a Christian. And he laid out sort of his own biography. He says, well, you can trust your own credentials, that's not going to do it. Or you can trust Christ. That is how you do it. Well, now he's going to talk more about, well, how do you continue in that life? How do you keep going? How do you live this life of faith day after day after day, year after year, decade after decade? How do you do that? Well, we're going to look at the picture. He's going to paint a picture for us. And then he's going to give us some practices of sort of how to do it. And I know we've prayed, but let me just pray again and ask God to help us. Would you join me? Lord, I pray that my words about your word would give us the things that we need. And thankfully, you know exactly what we need this morning, each of us individually. So help us as we open our minds and our hearts, and we'd ask your Spirit, the Spirit of God, to teach us and apply the Word of God to our lives. So, Lord, we wait upon you and thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. So let's talk. He's going to paint the picture of running the race. And we're going to see he's sort of running through time. He's going to talk about past, present, and future. Now remember where Paul is. Paul's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. He's not in Philippi. Where is he? He's in prison in Rome. And if anybody could have said, well, you know, I'm in prison. And my days are sort of behind me. And I'm just going to coast the rest of the way. Or I've done quite a bit, actually. I'm done. But Paul doesn't say that. Not about himself and not about you and I. So how do we do that? He's going to say, well, in the present, you need to sort of evaluate how you're doing. He says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect. He says, I'm not perfect. None of us are. Now, there's a small majority in the Christian world that teaches Christian perfectionism. That is, that Christians here on earth can sort of reach a plane of spiritual and moral perfection. It's sort of the second work of grace that instantaneously makes you perfect. Well, that sounds good, but I don't think that's quite right, is it? Paul says, I haven't done that. I'm not perfect. It's a humble acknowledgement. It brings humility, but not complacency. We'll see. And his imperfections, those don't discourage him. They just help him keep running. See, if you think you've already arrived, then you quit running. You criticize other people that are running. You kind of are sort of arrogant and exclusive and kind of, I've got a handle on all this. I don't need to learn anything more. Paul says, no, that's not what you should do. You should evaluate. Not perfection, but progress. I press on. Christ Jesus has made me his own. He was saved. It's sort of that initial start of the race. But I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep going. Now, how do we evaluate ourselves? Well, I don't know. I was thinking about this. Just think about the things, if you've been with us these last Sundays, we've gone through the book of Philippians. The things that Paul's already mentioned just in the book of Philippians. He talked about prayer, talked about the gospel, living the gospel, sharing the gospel. He talked about unity and how we get along with each other. He talked about, and this is my phrase, shining, not whining. He says, do everything without grumbling or complaining, but you should like shine like stars in the universe. That should be your experience. You should be a role model. You should both be a role model and follow role models. And you should do it all with joy. Well, just if you took those, whatever, five or six things, and sort of evaluate yourself, well, that'd be a good start. See, if you and I are on the same plateau as we were 20 years ago, 2 years ago, if we're exactly the same in terms of our knowledge of God and our experience of God, then there's something wrong. So we just sort of evaluate ourselves. How am I running today? And if you're a runner, runners kind of have a, they sort of do that as they're running. You know, how am I feeling? How are my legs? You know, how's my breathing? You know, they kind of don't really have a checklist, but they're evaluating as they go. Paul says that's a good thing. All right, that's the present. What about the past? He says, I forget the past. Really, you just forget everything? Well, no. You forget the Bible? You forget about God and His grace and God's work in your life? Well, no. And forgetting is not sort of just this passive loss of memory. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Forgetting here, he says, is an active, kind of continual discipline of your mind. Well, what is it that we forget? He says he's forgetting what lies behind. Well, what lies behind? You can't really change the past, but you can change the meaning of the past, its influence on you. So let me throw out a couple things. Forget your failures. Those things that you just messed up on. Those past hurts. Those past things that didn't go very well. Now, if they can help us, we can sort of learn from them. That's a good thing. But if they're constantly dragging us down and discouraging us and saying, oh, I'll never get over that, that's not helpful. Paul says, forget that. Forget those past failures. I think he would also say, forget your past successes too. Now again, those things that God has enabled us to do and we can feel good about, that's okay. But what we don't want is to be arrogant or complacent, right? Oh, remember the glory days, the good old days, or maybe Paul would say, you know, before I was in prison, things were good. But now they're terrible, and I might as well just give up. Or they were really good, so I'll just count on them, and I won't try anymore. In fact, I'm not even going to write the Philippians or whoever. No, he doesn't say that. Here's what Jesus says in Luke 9. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Farmers, help me out. If you're plowing, either, obviously they didn't have tractors back then. You had to do it all by hand. But even with a tractor, if you're plowing and you look back, what usually happens? You don't have very good straight rows, do you? You get off track. If you're a runner, runners don't look over their shoulder. Wonder how everybody else is doing. You know, what happens if you do that? You trip. You run into somebody. You stumble. You lose momentum. It throws you off. He says, so don't. The past, you need to forget. All right, so that was the present, the past. Guess where I'm going on the next verses? The future. He's going to say, press on. The future. The goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's the prize? It's not salvation. That's, and we even sang about that already today, but that's been won at the cross. He's not trying to run his way to heaven or something like that, just to earn his way to salvation or whatever. No. He's already talked to us about that. You got to be a Christian to be in the race, this Christian race. And it's not that you're competing against everybody else. I got to come in first. In fact, I mean, I've never run a marathon, but you never ask the marathon runners, well, did you win? What do they ask? Did you finish? Yeah, I did. What was your time? You know, shorter races, it's minutes. Marathon, they time you by the hour. That's a lot of running. He's pressing on, right? You can't run half the race and then just be on the sidelines and watch everybody else go. You got to just keep going, don't you? Here's what Paul wrote, his last letter. He wrote to Timothy. He wrote two of them, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Here's 2 Timothy 4:8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. He keeps going, and he wants us to keep going. He wants us to be mature and complete, right? Now, how does that help? How does that help us run? I mean, what does that take for a runner to kind of keep going and to press on, to strain toward the upward call of God? Well, it takes discipline and determination, right, to not give up. In another passage in 1 Corinthians, he used the same metaphor of running in 1 Corinthians 9:26. He says, I do not run aimlessly. No, I'm focused. I'm pretty determined. So this morning, no matter where you're at in the race, I want to encourage you to just keep going. Not to give up. Always too soon to quit. Now, of course, you can't just run anywhere. That last verse, hold true to what we've attained. God's marked out the race for us. You can't just kind of live however you want. It's true for us as individual Christians. It's also true for us as a church. I was thinking about this. As a church body, as a church family, we're running the race too, aren't we? Collectively. We're trusting God. We're doing things. We need to do that too. Evaluate the present. That's where we're at right now. How are things going? Forget the past, at least the things that would hinder us, and we're going to press on toward the future. God's not done with us. There's still more to do and learn. Okay, how? How do we do that? Let's talk about the practice of this. Let's get a little more practical. How do we actually do this? Competitive running is just as much mental as it is muscular. Yes, you need physical stamina and speed, but you also need internal confidence and a commitment to kind of keep going. So how do we run this race, Paul? Well, he's going to give us a couple good principles. One, he says, follow the examples of good runners, brothers. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul says, imitate me. Now, Paul, didn't you already earlier talk about humility? Well, yes, this is still humble. The ultimate person we're imitating is, of course, is Jesus. Paul has already said, hey, I'm not perfect. And he says, the example you have in us. Now, who is the us? Well, earlier he mentioned two other runners with him, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Plus, there's other people in the book of Philippians that he mentions. Also, next week we'll get to a couple more that he mentions by name. So he says, follow that example. Not necessarily everything that Paul has gone through. That's not what you exactly have to do. But follow his life of faith. Join him in the race. See it? Join. Come along with me. Run with me. Let's do this. Now, how does that help? How does following a good example help runners? In long distance running, marathon runners, they talk about hitting the wall. That's the expression at about 20 miles, right? Marathon is 26.2 miles. At about 20 miles or so, your body sort of runs out of steam. Mine would have a long time before that. But that's what, if you train for that, of course. And your body and even your mind say, ugh, give up. You're not going to make it. Just quit. I don't think you could do this. And mentally, you have to sort of evaluate that. Well, am I going to listen to that or am I going to press on? Well, good runners, if you're following them, you realize, hey, one, there's people ahead of me. They haven't quit. Two, there's people that finish. Hey, I want to be like that. I'm not going to give up. I am going to keep going. Do you ever feel in your Christian life like you want to just give up some days? Or you think, is it really worth it? Let's just pack it in. It's too hard. It's too challenging. The example of good Christian runners is that we can follow their example, can't we? Those who have good marriages or a prayer life, or they share their faith, or they're a good witness at work through their words and their work. They're good neighbors. I don't know, the list can go on and on and on. Follow those kind of people. Ask them, hey, you're a little further on the race than I am. Give me some help. What's your secret? It's probably not a secret, but tell me, or you've gone through something similar. How did you get through this difficult time? There's lots of examples to follow. Unfortunately, not all the examples are good. Now he's going to talk to us about bad examples. Avoid those kind of people. Even runners. There's kind of bad runners where instead of running straight, they kind of zigzag all over the place. Or they don't keep a steady pace. They run real fast and then they stop, sometimes even stop or slow down, or they're not paying attention. Or sometimes you can even hear bad runners. Instead of a nice kind of flow from your heel to your toe, they run like this. That's not good running. It's hard on everything. It's hard on me just doing that now. But sometimes people run that way. And you realize, huh, I wonder if there's a better way to do that. Well, there is. Well, who were the bad runners in Philippi? We don't know exactly. Paul knows. The Philippians certainly know. Paul's talked to the Philippians about them before, but he's going to mention them, not by name, but some descriptions. Like what? They walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. That is, they don't talk about the cross as their greatest boast, because they're boasting and they're counting on something else. They don't pick up their cross daily and follow Jesus. They do something else. Our son and his wife serve as missionaries in China. They work with college students in Beijing. And we talk to them every week. And yesterday, We were talking to our son, and he had an interesting comment. He knew that we're working our way through Philippians, and we were talking about, hey, isn't it Philippi, where in the book of Acts, this slave girl was a fortune teller, and she was making a lot of money. And she met up with Paul, and Paul said that was wrong. And anyway, led her to Christ, and the people who owned the slave girl got mad because they lost money because of it. And anyway, that was part of the Philippian church. Well, our son Josh said, interesting that, because this week, was it this? Yeah, I guess it was. This week, he met a student there on one of his campuses. They have several campuses they work with. Was a fortune teller. And he did. He made quite a bit of money. And they were talking about the gospel with him. And I don't think he called him an enemy of the cross, but the cross was an offense to him. And realized, well, wait a minute, if I have to give up my fortune telling and count on the cross and follow Jesus, there's going to be a conflict. We'll see. I don't know, that story's not over yet, because they're building. He was a friend of one of our son's friends, and they're going to have an ongoing relationship with that. But anyway, that was just interesting. I thought, wow, enemies of the cross. He goes on, their end is destruction. That is their destiny. Their prime interest is sort of selfish, self-serving, self-seeking, self-justifying. And their profession was false, so they're going to end up destruction. Their God is their belly. That's an interesting phrase. Not just your stomach, but you can think of that. You indulge in bodily and sensual desires. You're not in control of your appetites. They're in control of you. They glory in their shame. That is, their consciences are so deadened and dulled that they find delight in their sin. They brag about it. And their minds are set on earthly things. Not on heavenly spiritual things, but just things here on earth. I bet you know some people like this, don't you? They live for themselves. And it seems like they just get away with it. They just do whatever they want. Well, don't follow these examples, Paul says. Don't envy them. Don't think they're getting away with it. Just living their sinful life. Things will catch up with them sooner or later. God says that they will reap what they sow. It'll happen. So don't feel like, oh boy, as a Christian, I'm running this race and trying to do this. These other people, they just do whatever they want. Boy, I wish I could be like that. Don't follow that example. It's not good. The end isn't good. The process isn't good. It's not healthy. It's not good. So he says, follow the good examples. Avoid the bad ones. Got one more. Final verses. Know your finish line. He talks about heaven. He says your citizenship is in heaven. Now in those days, citizenship, a lot like today, citizenship was a big deal. Philippi wasn't in Rome. It's in Macedonia, kind of by Greece. But it was designated as a Roman colony. And if you ask folks there and other places, they would say, well, my citizenship is in Rome. That's where my rights and my identity come from. The Philippians would have been very familiar with the idea that a distant place, Rome, Italy, that's where my citizenship is in. And even though I have been born and live in a different land. In fact, I don't think I've ever even been to Rome. It still has an influence. And if Caesar ever would have come to Philippi, it would have been a big deal. He would have brought order and peace, and it would have been a happy day. Paul says, you're not citizens of Rome. What are you, citizens? Of heaven. And we're awaiting, not Caesar to come one day, but Jesus. Jesus is going to come one day. We await our Savior. Well, how are we going to get there? He says, well, probably not in the body that you have. That lowly body is going to have to be transformed, right? Our earthly bodies, I don't know about yours, but mine's not going to last forever. It's frail. It gets broken down. It gets tired. Probably like a lot of you yesterday with a nice day, I did some work outside. And boy, this morning I told Deb, I said, man, I could feel it. You know, my muscles or my this or that or whatever. And I'm like, it can't do what it used to do. So our lowly bodies, they're going to be transformed like his glorious body, an imperishable body, a spiritual body, a powerful, glorious. And Jesus' resurrection, that kind of a body, whatever that was like, that's just sort of the prototype of what we're going to experience. Now, why does he say this? Let's go back. How does this help us keep running? Although you and I have never seen the city of heaven, we're citizens there. And our status as citizens in heaven affect us right now. They shape us, don't they? They shape our values and how we live and how we spend our time and our money and how we raise our family. It matters. Our race is no longer determined by where we've come. It's determined by where we're going. That's the finish line. For me, running, I'm a pretty average runner. I finish in the middle of the pack. I remember one 5K race, I kind of turned the corner and I could see the finish line. I'm like, all right. And I could see this young gal was up ahead of me. I didn't know who she was, but she was running. Okay, here's my chance. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to pass her and beat her. So I did. I just ran as fast as I could. It was great. I went across the finish line before her, and I didn't cheer, but I was so happy. She just kept running. She was running the 10K. I'm like, gosh. It was my short victory was, boy. You got to know when the finish line is, don't you? Truth is, you and I, we don't know when our race will be over, do we? Where God will call us home or Jesus will come back, we don't know. But you got to keep running. And because we're on the winning team, we can. And we should. That's the picture he's trying to paint for us, right? As you're running, evaluate the present, forget the past, look to the future. How do you do that? Well, follow examples, good examples, and avoid the bad examples, and know your finish line. Well, let me close with this final story. Maybe you're familiar with the movie Chariots of Fire. It won 4 Oscars way back in 1982, including the Best Picture. It's about 2 runners, Olympic runners, in 1924, and one was this guy, Eric Little. He's a Christian. He makes the oft-quoted statement, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." I think Paul also felt the pleasure of running the Christian race. Eric Little would win several gold medals in that Olympics. He would later go on to serve on the mission field, where he ran for something more important than gold medals. So here we are, you and I. We're running this Christian race, aren't we? I hope you feel God's pleasure too. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we keep running until we see him, until we're there. And we have no regrets of how we've run. Brothers and sisters, let's keep running that race. Let's pray. Well, Lord, you know all of us and how we're running and where we're at. We do want to keep going and keep trusting you and being faithful and persevere. And sometimes the course laid out is not flat. It's got hills and curves and surprises around.